The focus was, of course, on the situation for the many vulnerable and exposed groups in the Middle East who are now paying the price of the conflict in Syria, but also convulsions inside their own societies. I pointed to the fact that certain minorities have reduced their numbers by great figures since the last 10 years. In fact, if you look at the Christians, they were about 2 million people about 10 years ago, and now they are 500,000. So it's a sad long-term trend away from the pluralism and diversity which characterized the Middle East in the past. So the same thing, unfortunately, has happened to other groups. Now with ISIS entry into Iraq and role in Syria, there has been a situation which has paradoxically led to the fact that the persecutions of minorities almost turns into a persecution of a majority, because the minorities add up. If you add up to the Yazidis and different Shia groups and others who have been on the enemy list of the of ISIS and or Daesh, then it turns out to be a very large part of the population. So I think the meeting was very good in terms of identifying this as a problem for many, many groups.
In your meeting with the UNESCO Director General, you discussed the Security Council resolution, which condemns the destruction of cultural heritage in Syria. Did you talk with Mrs. Bokova about any future steps to implement the legally binding measure adopted by this resolution?
I had a special meeting with Director General Bokova, and we had a very serious discussion about the destruction of world heritage. I consider it a crime against history. I consider it a denial of the past, which will hurt our possibilities to face the future. And it is a war crime. But I think it's important that one goes one step further, because this is also a crime against humanity, that one here 2,000 years after many of these monuments were set up, we have for the first time a systematic destruction of history. It is a sign of the brutalization that has taken place, and there is a need to see this in the wider perspective. Yes, human lives come first, always, but when you take away history and take away the right to identity and what all other earlier generations have built up to remind us of their existence and their strivings is in fact also something that should be taken up as an issue of international peace and security.
Mr. Eliasson, we all saw the horrific photo of Alian, the little Syrian boy who lost his life while fleeing to Europe. When do you think such misery will end? When do you think we will stop seeing such disturbing images?
This image, plus, of course, the absolutely horrifying image of the truck with the 71 dead people inside, had an enormously strong impact, first of all, of the countries in Europe, I know. I have a background there. But also on world public opinion. And I feel that the mobilization of solidarity, which is evident particularly in Germany but also in many other countries, are partly a reaction to that image and recalls the values for which the European Union stands, and of course from our perspective the values that the United Nations stands for. Dealing with the refugee crisis as it is, mostly it's not really a migrant crisis, this is basically a refugee crisis. That means that we have to think about the problem in three perspectives. The problems for countries of destination, and that's where the European debate has been focusing. The problems of countries of transit, the Libya situation, which is extremely difficult. We should have normally had an orderly process of dealing with the asylum request in Libya as a transit country. And thirdly, the countries of origin. And I would particularly like to emphasize the countries of origin. We have to end the war in Syria. There is nothing more important in order to normalize or bring situation under control than ending that horrible war. And I hope now everybody takes this seriously, Security Council, countries in the region, and of course the parties to the conflict in Syria.